Blog Talk Radio.
Where's your bread? Welcome to the war room. We got Dev, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
You wanna end up 1 or 2 hours showing to keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level. Move with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five doing prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five silly guys, diversified and educated.
Yeah! Welcome back to the roundtable, good folks. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and as usual, I'm here with the fellas, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, Akil Bayon. It's time to talk sports, so make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to get into the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. But if you listen to us, then you love our partner shows as well. So for the very best in sports talk, make sure you tune in to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street Line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. and check the listings for Brandon and Daniel on Sports Trap Radio. Both shows are on Blog Talk Radio. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch these guys and all of our other partner podcasts and webcasts at warroomsports.blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication three times on Friday on newvibradio.com. That's 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But before we get into this rundown, fellas, what's the word for the week? Jimmy, welcome back, man. You know, you got over your Mutombo. You good?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. You know, I'm back like crack, man. Let's get it.
B. Austin, Doc Bay. What's the word?
You.
Man, I okay. Can't complain. Just chilling like a chinchilla in Chile.
I was like, what happened? They started to talk. Yeah, that's what's
like,
up.
Damn,
because Doc Bay, you know, I'm going to be down in Doc Bay's area tomorrow. We're going to rip up the city, Dallas. So get ready for the war room. All right, so... Jimmy, why don't you let everybody know what happened this week while they were on the ground? It's one of those bad editions, too, man. It's one of those bad
editions. Definitely is one of the bad editions. And while you're on the ground, it's brought to you by DirecTV. If you'd like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including the NFL Sunday Ticket,
yeah.
It's almost football season. It's almost fantasy time. Go get your NFL Sunday Ticket. Do that by going to our website, warroomsports.com, and click on the DirecTV logo. Because we give you the hookup. Everybody loves the hookup. Anyway, let's jump right into these stories.
Well, Jimmy, but the crazy part is, though, for all the newbies, if you go join now, they're giving you Sunday Ticket for free. Like, people who've been in the game for a while, you know, we got like 6 payments of $50. So,
yeah,
you know, y'all need to go ahead and do
that.
Yeah, they always do that for the new people. They don't know if they're going to pay their bill after a month or two. But the people who've been with them for like 18 years got to, yeah.
It's one of themself.
But anyway. Anyway, y'all need to go take advantage of it.
Loyalty gets no love.
Yeah.
Now, listen, man. You hear it from me, man. Just go to warroomsports.com. Click on the logo. You're hearing it from me. I'm the king of L.A., although I'm in Philly. But anyway, listen. Another fan dies after falling from a stadium platform. This happened in Turner Field in Atlanta.
Yeah,
you know,
old jangle.
Phillies were down there. I think it's the Phillies' bad luck, but, you know, I'm not trying to make light of the situation because it's a tragedy.
It's not the bad luck, Jimmy.
To be honest with you,
you know.
It's funny when this happened. It's sad, but I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often. When you go to a game, you see people hanging over the joints all the time, acting a fool. But,
trying to catch foul balls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
No, but what you said, the bad luck, you know, Philly. Shoot, you know they had to do an investigation to make sure foul play wasn't involved. And I was like, oh, they probably did that because Philadelphia fans were in town. But, the guy's name was, he was a lifetime Atlanta Braves fan, Ronald Lee Homer Jr. He was 30 years old. They said he was just waiting out the rain delay on a fourth level smoking area with a 42-inch railing. And dude was about 6'6", so 42 inches comes up to, like, his midsection. He was on the phone with his mom. told her that he was about to go to his seat because the rain was letting up, told her he loved her, and a few minutes later, he fell 85 feet into the player's parking lot. They said he was unconscious when the paramedics got there, but he wasn't, you know, dead yet. But once they got him to the hospital, they pronounced him dead around 8:30. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, the speculation is that he was on some turnip juice, but they said it takes a little bit of time to get, you know, to find out, which shocked me because when I watch Law & Order and CSI, they tell you within 10 minutes, but they said it's going to take about 2 months.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, because you said you're surprised it doesn't happen more. The crazy part is this is like the third time it's happened this year in Atlanta. The other two were at the Georgia Dome where the Falcons play. One dude, Isaiah Grubb, 20 years old, he died after falling over a railing at the Georgia Dome at a college football game. They said he landed on another dude seated on a lower level and alcohol was involved. And then they said another man fell about 25 feet over a staircase railing at the Georgia Dome, but they said he wasn't seriously injured. So people are kind of taking L's, and you remember the one that happened in Dallas, you know, at the Rangers Park.
They must have got some special turnip juice down there in ATL.
Yeah, or they serving too much, or they serving it too late in the game. Cause you know, a lot of stadiums, they have a rule where
they
serve it past a certain point. Yeah, so you just can't get, you know, well, you can. You just got to have a lot in a short period of time. But, yeah.
Yo, but you know,
condolences
the thing is, like, we all been to sporting events, and it doesn't even matter, like, because, well, here in Philadelphia, cats is drunk before the game starts. So it doesn't matter when you stop serving.
Way before the game starts.
Yo, you go to an Eagles game, yo, cats start drinking for an Eagles game at 9:30 a.m.
Yeah. In the parking lot,
and
not
so
at home.
Yeah, so it don't matter.
What do you guys think can be done to make stadiums safer? Like, is there anything that could be done?
Stop
making
all
padding. Maybe they
could put
more padding down or raise railings, put more security. I mean, because I'll be honest, like, if you go to a game and you're on one of those long diesel escalators, like, yo, if I just take a wrong step, yo, it could be over.
It could be over for you. I think they should start serving O'Doul's. Yo, cut the check. War Room helped y'all. O'Doul,
what you could drink, you could drink a bunch of them. Oh, okay. All right. I was about to say, what you could drink a bunch of them and not get drunk?
I
guess
so.
Non-alcoholic.
Honestly, I just don't think this. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is because.
Yeah.
O'Doul's.
I mean, because, you know, they don't like to put, like, fences and stuff up because they want everybody to have the greatest view that they could possibly have. But if you look at a lot of these arenas and stadiums, they just have, like, a little railing or a little piece of glass in front of people on those higher levels. And like Jimmy said, like, you see people all the time reaching over for foul balls at basketball games. You see people reaching over trying to get stuff that the mascot is shooting up there. It's dangerous, man. It's dangerous. It's real dangerous. So I really don't know what they can do. But they got to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too many people
dying. That, man. But anyway, man, you know, sad story, but let's talk something. Talk about another story that was happened this past week.
It's sad, too.
San Francisco Giants fan throws bananas near Orioles Adam Jones. This is another story to go along with everything else taking place in terms of no race in sports, but
we're in a post-race society.
I mean, remember, fellas, we talked about this, like, last year before the hockey season started. Somebody threw a banana on the ice in front of Wayne Simmons, the black player on the Flyers. And then over in Europe, this is like the usual. This is the norm during those soccer games. But the guy, Alexander Politis, he's a Bay Area resident, you know, Giants fan. He actually came out the next day and said he had no idea that there was a situation until he saw it on the news. So that's why he actually called the San Jose Mercury News and cop to it, but he said his action was not racially motivated whatsoever. He said it was just a response to the Giants' poor play. He said he was leaving in the ninth inning because the Giants, who are struggling, was getting pounded 10-2 in the ninth inning. So as he was walking out, he grabbed a banana off one of the catering carts and tossed it onto the field. And that was his claim. He said, "I'm embarrassed and shocked by the outcome. In hindsight, I wish I didn't do it, and I apologize. I'm very sorry."
Well, we don't believe you. You need more.
Okay, I guess somebody in the house doesn't believe him. So, what do you guys think? Do you just think it was straight up racially motivated, or does his words get any benefit of the doubt?
Now, I mean, even if you do give him the benefit of the doubt, it's still ignorance. Now, you know, either way, it's just ignorance. Either way, it's ignorance.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how ignorant you are. And considering everything else that's going on in terms of this country, it just doesn't look good. I mean, maybe that's why he reached out so fast, like, oh, my God. Like, but at the end of the day, it's still ignorance.
But it's also one of those things, it's like threefold almost. Like, first of all, you're not supposed to throw anything onto the field at a sporting event, you know, at anybody. So that's the first mistake. Secondly, you know, you're throwing bananas, man. There's black dudes on the field. You know, Adam Jones plays in the area where you threw the banana, so you know how it's going to be viewed unless you just really plead in ignorance and you weren't thinking about it. Just next time, don't throw bananas. Like,
that's the wrong Adam Jones to throw a banana at. If you're going to throw a banana at any African-American Adam Jones, it should be the black man.
Anyway. I want to know who eats bananas at a live sporting event. I was like, you know what I mean?
Especially at a baseball game. You know what I mean?
Do they sneak it in? Like, how did he get that past security?
No, he said he grabbed it off a catering cart.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I've been to half the parks in this. United States, but
universe.
I'm not gonna say. I think I have seen bananas at parks and arenas before, but I'm not 100% sure. So
He said he
grabbed it off a catering cart. So if they have catering carts there and nobody has bananas, then they could speak out and say that, like, we don't sell bananas. What you talking about?
No one eats bananas. No one eats bananas at live sporting events. Some Becky that did that at the 700 level back when the Eagles wasn't that good. Other than that, nobody does that. Come on, cuz.
They do have, like, smoothie stands at a lot of these places. So, I don't know. You know, I don't know the dude, so I don't know if he's telling the truth or not. But either way, I'm not reaching for it. I'm just being fair. Like, you know, I've been to a lot of
parties. You're saying that they had bananas because it was San Francisco?
Yo! Move on.
Let's move on to the next story.
Now we're going to get put out of here because of that.
Von Miller was arrested for failure to appear in court on traffic violation. Listen, man, Von Miller is in
trouble. Jimmy, get your man.
Yo, this is so disappointing. Like I said before, last time he got in trouble, Von Miller is literally my favorite player on the Broncos, and it's just turning out to be a nightmare because I guess he believes the press clippings and thinks he's above the law at this point. But
yeah, because like you said, we just spoke about him a couple of weeks ago for the, you know, he's got a 4-game suspension for PEDs or whatever the drug policy was that he broke. Actually, his appeal was today. His hearing was today for his appeal. So all of this was happening in the midst of preparing for this appeal, but they said he was arrested Sunday at the Centennial Gun Club. So he was off shooting guns when he got arrested, which is near Broncos practice. He failed to appear in court for traffic violations, and the traffic violations were from back in October. There was a traffic stop in which he was charged with careless driving, driving without a license, and no proof of insurance. Why do rich people drive around? I ain't gonna say rich people. Why do rich athletes always drive around with no license, no insurance? Like, you can afford it. Like, I don't really get it. So that court date was December 31st, and he skipped it. I guess he had New Year's plans. And he was released on a $1,000 bond on Sunday and then went to his appeal hearing today. Jimmy, that's like you said, we don't want to see Von Miller end up in that wasted potential story because he's a beast. He's a beast.
Von Miller, where you bred at?
Yo, where you bred at? Yo, he's like the. Yeah, I mean, I guess he's believing in such stuff. I don't know what's going on. But you got to take care of the small stuff, man.
Yeah. You know, you can't like insurance, license. court date.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Dude. Come on, man. Something small like that, man.
Listen,
small
my man gets 18 sacks a season. He don't got to worry about driving. He don't got to worry about insuring. He gets 18 sacks.
Still, yeah. Man, he's living kind of.
He's gonna be there to get 18 sacks. He keep getting in trouble. So,
especially Denver stepping it up on their disciplinary action. You know, they suspended a couple of their management guys. So, who knows what's gonna happen now once Von Miller gets his cases resolved.
Great point, Kill. We have to see whether they're gonna hold him to a higher level as well. You know, but you can't. Come on, man. Like you got to.
Well, they suspended those coaches and management guys under public scrutiny. It was one of those things where people complaining like, oh, y'all ain't doing nothing to them, and they driving drunk. So they had to do what they had to do. I don't think they really wanted to do that. But the precedent has been set. Huh?
I don't think Vaughn's going to end up with any issue. Was it a misdemeanor or was it just traffic? If it was a traffic issue, I don't think there's any real grounds for the organization to discipline him for traffic.
No, he might not get disciplined, I mean, but, you know, he still has to stay out of trouble, you know. First of all, drive with a license, call State Farm, call, you know, what's the dude's name? Jay from State Farm. Call that dude, get everything straight.
My thing is, and I'm pretty sure that, if you just can't just go around acting like that, somebody would take care of it for him. I mean, he has to have an agent, you know. The team has to look out his best interest, but it's just like this dude is just out of control. Like, I don't know what to say, man. I'm just hoping that he wakes up before it's too late, before it becomes one of those stories.
He got a wife or lady friends? No hooers? No nothing that could go call Jake from State Farm at 3 in the morning?
He got no Anyway, man.
She sounds hideous.
Another sad story. Ryan Anderson, his model girlfriend, dies at age 29 from an apparent suicide. Another sad story, but, I hate to hear it, like these stories. Like, what could make you get to the point where you want to take your own life? But
right.
It seems to be happening more often, or maybe.
I haven't heard officially, you know, what she did or tried to do to herself, but I know Akil was telling us. Didn't you say she tried to hang herself or something like that?
Yeah, she tried to hang herself, but she wasn't successful completely. So she went to the hospital. Yeah, so she went to the, so they had to take her to the hospital, but by that point, she was like brain dead, you know, loss of oxygen and all of that, so she just would have been a vegetable, so they just pulled the plug.
Vegetable.
So what? Yeah, it's like you make. Some people just make it harder than it has to be, man. If you're gonna kill yourself, make it painless. You know what I mean? I mean, first of all,
I was thinking the
don't
same
kill yourself.
Thing. Like, who wants to?
Don't kill yourself, but you know, how you gonna hang yourself and fail, and then you know, whatever. Because he found her.
You're such a failure in life that you can't even.
I'm trying not to laugh at this subject.
I actually would like to speculate as to why she decided to terminate her own life. Now, what I believe is that Ryan was dissatisfied with her coital exploits, and she had a small mouth and was a little sensitive about, you know, her abilities to succeed and successful.
Wow.
He let her know, and it damaged her esteem. And since she wasn't able to succeed, she decided to leave his place.
Wow.
I think we should move on after
that. On that note, y'all, let's talk about some people having birthdays, guys. I don't know what to say, man.
That's why B. Elton got thousands and thousands of fans all over this nation. All right. Birthdays brought to you, of course, by Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates. For the best
up,
and comprehensive treatment of injuries to the foot, ankle, and lower extremities, be sure to visit Dr. Monique Roll of Alexandria Podiatry Associates, treating patients in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, and beyond. Just visit alexandriapodiatry.org or call 703-379-0700. Again, that's 703-379-0700. And make sure you tell them War Room Sports sent you. And you can also follow Dr. Sweetfeet on Twitter @Dr. Sweetfeet. So go ahead and do that.
It's my birthday. Yay!
All right, we want to give a shout-out to one Eric Bieniemy, former NFL running back. What did Chris Berman used to call him? Eric Public Bieniemy. He turns out 44 today. Bubby Brister, quarterback from the Pittsburgh Steelers, spent a little bit of time with my Philadelphia Eagles. Bubby Brister turned 51 today. Oh, yeah, and another Bronco. Backup quarterback Gary Kubiak, now head coach of the Houston Texans, turns 52 today. And Gene Upshaw, rest in peace to Gene Upshaw. He would have been 68 today. As you know, he was a Hall of Fame offensive lineman in the NFL and the former president of the Players Association. So we like to give a nice big war room salute to all of these gentlemen on their birthday. All right, everybody, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message about the company, our show, to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog, then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app, and watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To enter the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to do that, just sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room during the show this week and every week. So to call in and speak with us directly, you can dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, which is now open. That number is 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you already listen from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk.
I just want to say real quick before we move on that yesterday was Magic Johnson's birthday, so shout out to Magic Johnson. Had to say
shout out
to
Magic. Yeah, because
shout out to Isaiah Thomas.
we had a question about that on our Facebook page earlier. Shout out to the homie Robert Ahmad. I think his question has something to do with Magic never caught the germ. Would he had been, you know, would people still universally consider Michael Jordan the greatest player of all time? And,
in a word?
Yeah. That's basically what most of the people who answered it said. Like, you know, a lot of, you know, Mike fans, which I'm one of them. I just don't subscribe to the same level of Koloffness that a lot of people do. You know, once you see Mike, they think that nobody will ever. That's one of the silliest things I've ever heard. Like, nobody will ever be better than Mike. Like, how do we know that? You know, but you're already letting people know that in a discussion, that'll hold true for you no matter what anybody else does. So, what can you do? What can you do? But anyway, let's get in some hot topics, man. Just let's talk a little bit about Audible. I want to see what you fellas have been reading lately. But is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Try audiobooks. Kick back. Let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while doing whatever you want to do at the same time. What are you fellas reading right now?
Confessions of 100 Adult Entertainment Stars.
The super
very,
book.
Very, very good book. It's not what you think it would be. There's commentary on finances, commentary on cooking, and then the obvious on, you know, coital exercise techniques. But insightful, man. It's amazing the young ladies that end up getting into that industry and how it affects their lives. Some for the positive, you know.
Cool. Jimmy, what you reading?
Great pictures, too.
I keep saying reading. Jimmy, what you listening to? or Doc Bay, you listening to anything right now?
No, I'm kind of on hold with Audible. I still have a couple books in the queue that I need to listen to. I'm actually looking forward to Malcolm Gladwell's new book coming out in October called David and Goliath. But I'll probably be the next one I'll listen to.
Cool. All right, so me? Man, you know, it take me like 6 months to get one book done. I'm still on the ESPN. Those guys have all the fun. I mean, it's basically because the only time I really have time is when I'm on flights. So I'll get some more of that done tomorrow. I'm not sure if I'm going to be using the Audible, though. I might just read it from the Kindle. Back to the PGA. Jason Duffner wins the PGA Championship. This is his first major. You know, we talked about Tiger again last week. And he got into another one of these majors and couldn't get it done. Like, he's still having a great year. He still had a great year by all accounts. But, you know, like we always say, Tiger's bar is set a little higher. So the fans basically judge him off of majors. And once again, he didn't get it done. So at this point, you know, if he wins one next year, it would have been 2 years in between major victories. Another dealer said Johnny Manziel got paid for autographs in two more sessions. So altogether, this makes six sessions where they're accusing Texas A&M star Johnny Manziel of signing autographs for pay. Now, this situation is getting, I don't know, it's more to it every day. And you're starting to hear an outcry from the fans because they're starting to, especially black fans, you know, I'm not even going to hold you on that. Because when it happened to, like, Cam Newton and things happened to Reggie Bush and Terrell Pryor and those guys from Ohio State, people were saying how the NCAA was quick to strike and punish those guys. But I don't really see it that way, per se, because all they're waiting for with Johnny Manziel is evidence that money exchanged hands. You know what I'm saying? So they know that it's strange to sign this many autographs over a period of time just for free. It's not like it's just fans passing by. Yeah, so he signed thousands of autographs. So the investigation is pending. And I do think as soon as the NCAA finds proof that money changed hands, that he's going to be suspended or ineligible just like the rest of them. But maybe they won't.
But
maybe the people that are complaining have a case.
Watch how long it takes them to find proof. By the time they find proof, the season's going to be over and he's going to be declared eligible for the draft. So, you know, it is what it is.
Same thing happened with Terrell Pryor, though. He was allowed to play in the bowl game. He rolled out of school, serve his suspension.
But I'm saying in terms of, like, college football media and everything, Terrell Pryor was ostracized before that even happened. He was looked at as any kind of speculation came up.
But I haven't talked to anybody who is not saying Johnny Manziel is not guilty. Have you?
It's not about him not being guilty. It's about the fact that, like, they're not talking about it at all. If you watch, like, College Game Day, they don't bring it up. When the Terrell Pryor situation was going on, they went around and found people who knew of him or who were there when it happened. They're not doing the same kind of investigation from a media standpoint that they did with Ohio State or any of those other situations. You know what I'm saying? And part of it is because this guy is the face of college football at this point.
True. Heisman winner.
Same thing with Cam Newton. It's kind of like they drug their feet with the whole Cam Newton situation because, you know, he was a Heisman candidate, and then, you know, he won the Heisman and graduated, and that was it, and everything was swept under the rug. So I think the same thing with Manziel, because if he doesn't play in these games, they can lose a lot of money as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how I remember it, too, and it seems like, you know, we're all crying. I'm not saying that it doesn't have any racial undertones, but it was the same thing. They let Cam finish out. They let, you know, the other guys finish out.
I'm not even talking about whether they're going to let him finish out. I'm talking about the way he's handled by the media. It's completely different. Those guys were treated like criminals and bad guys, and they were doing investigations into their background, their friends, their family. None of that is happening.
But we already know Johnny Manziel's background. He's a rich Caucasian kid.
He got the complexion for the connection. But all I'm saying is he's being treated differently by the media. And specifically, College Game Day. When you watch College Game Day, I watch it just to see how they're going to handle the story, and they don't even talk about it. They act like it doesn't exist.
I don't know. I don't. I haven't seen anything where Johnny Manziel wasn't mentioned. I'm just being honest. I haven't seen anything where
this story wasn't mentioned. ESPN, the magazine, just dropped their college football preview yesterday. Since the story broke, they don't mention it at all. And they're usually on the ball in terms of what's going on. Like, right, so if something happens and they drop their magazine the week after, it's in there. They don't even mention this at all. He's on the cover, by the way. I'm just saying, he's being. It's definitely different.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's some merit to that. I'm definitely sure. I mean, we talk about that all the time, as far as the way media covers certain things, certain.
But well, I mean, we'll see
athletes.
What happens though, because at this point, it's so much pressure on him to perform on the field that you know. I don't even know how he's going to live up to the hype. I mean, he was the Heisman Trophy winner last year. Now he has all kinds of pressure on him.
A lot of other people are weighing in, like Dez Bryant weighed in. He was like, he doesn't want Johnny Manziel to get suspended, but at the same time, he's just ready to call the NCAA out for being unfair if nothing happens. You know, because remember, he lost his whole season. He lost like 10 games for lying about eating lunch at Deion Sanders' house. He did lie about it, but they asked him, if it was such an innocent lunch, why'd you lie about it? He was like, I was just the investigator was asking me questions and I was scared. And I can feel that. You know what I'm saying? Because
I was shook daddy.
When you're getting questioned, you get a little shook, if you think something can happen. So, I'm not sure
if
he should have lost.
If you're a black man being questioned by an authority figure, you're going to get a little shook.
Man, if you're a black dude and you're not riding around like Von Miller, if you have your license, your insurance, and all that, tell me y'all still ain't nervous when a cop come behind you, even
Dog,
if you're doing everything right.
I'd make a turn. And the thing is, I'm completely legit.
I'm a college graduate with a great job, and I'm shook like I'm going to jail for life if I see them lights behind.
But see, that's what a lot of people don't understand, man. Like, yo. I don't have the complexion for the connection, man. Like, yo, so I'm completely legit. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, the cop pulled behind me.
We are
so
internet
like,
celebrities.
Jimmy, like, I'm turning corners.
I'm turning corners, pulling over.
Jump in the cab and turn corners on us.
I park and walk in random people's houses. Hey, how y'all doing?
We go knocking on doors. Hello. Can I use your bathroom?
Yeah,
we'll see what happens though.
Now we got a comment on Twitter. Shout out to @KCMac38. He says, "Coach is going to ask Manziel, did he do it? If yes, he will turn Manziel in."
Maybe he
knows something I don't know.
Coach, you got that phone call, KCMac?
KCMac must be in the know. Then again, KCMac said Dwight Howard was going down to the Dallas Mavericks. Anyway,
and it was all set up.
I just had to sort it out to KC, man. Shout out to you. But I don't know if it's that simple.
Yeah,
I mean, coach got a lot to lose, too.
Yeah, I think the coach – first of all, I think the coach, his best bet would be to not even ask. You know what I'm saying? Because if he finds out that if Johnny trusts his coach and he tells him the truth and his coach does cover it up, say he covers it up, and then try to say, I didn't know. Everything – they find out everything somehow. So I wouldn't even ask because if he gets in trouble.
You want that plausible deniability, man.
Exactly.
Plausible deniability. Yeah.
I don't even want to know. Let the investigators investigate. Don't tell me nothing.
I don't want to know.
Yeah, how did they find everything out? Did you know that 1 in 4 human beings is a snitch?
Sounds funny, but it has to be obvious because,
1 in 4 human beings.
Detectives aren't that smart unless they're like television detectives.
You're not that smart. I watched the first 48, yo. Cats will turn on you, yo. A supersized male. They turn on anybody.
Yeah. And I've been to my former profession, Jimmy. I've been to forensic conferences and stuff like that. And there's nothing there. There's some amazing things at these conferences, but it was nothing there to make me think that, they can solve things in 3 minutes like they do on Law & Order. So,
First 48, baby.
Somebody snitching.
That's why Mello told y'all years ago. Mello told y'all years ago, you got to put some money on their head.
He was with Myra. Myra was in the whip.
Mother was on the DVD talking about, y'all put some money on his head. Like, damn.
See, but that's another example. B. Austin, how you know about Myra? Somebody snatched.
Somebody snitched. I know about Myra Mello. If you listen to somebody snitched.
All right, so, I mean, and that's another. That's why we even know about this Johnny Manziel case, because the brokers and dealers that he deal with went out and snitched. So now all they got to do is find him getting money. Like, I heard there was a – remember when we did the video on War Room Sports TV with Dr. Eddie Moore from PopSpot.com, he was saying that there was a photo of him holding money. See, but at the same time, I know the photo that he's referring to, and – it's not a photo of him, like, exchanging money. It's just a photo of him holding money. So they can easily, you know, even if that's the money in question, they can still easily say, you know,
that's
something my pop sent me. And I, you know, yeah,
man, but if his name was Jerome Manziel, it would be a different story. My man from Alabama,
hey, Jimmy, that's because Jerome – That's because Jerome Manziel from the hood, and he don't got that kind of money. Like the dude we talked about last week with the photo.
Yeah.
The Instagram photo.
The photo in the whole world went in his neck.
They're like, where you get that from? He's supposed to be.
They wanted to arrest. They wanted to arrest them for holding money. They were guilty of holding too much money.
Exactly. They said they was part of the 300 gang.
Ah, yeah.
They called them gangbangers. They was part of the 300 gang.
HKM.
They was hashtagging. We all the hood.
HKMMWB. Holding too much money while black. That's first degree.
Everything's good now. We out the hood now. All right, so some baseball stuff. Mike Trout, he kind of weighed in on the whole PED situation. I don't want to talk about this too long because it's like the only thing going on in baseball besides actual baseball. But Mike Trout from the Los Angeles Angels, he says to me personally, I think you should be out of the game if you get caught. He didn't say out of the game if you use, mind you. It takes away from the guys that are working hard every day and doing it all natural. First of all, fellas, is that even a thing, doing it all natural? Because even if you're not taking stuff on the banned list, there's nobody that's just eating spinach and drinking water and going out and playing baseball every day. They're all doing something that makes it unnatural. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the only thing with this statement is that what if a person gets a false positive? So, like, let's say you really were on the up and up, and let's say you took a protein shake, and the protein shake came up with something false positive, but, you know, on the label of protein shake, it doesn't have any banned substances. That's the only thing with the lifetime ban, which is why it'll probably never get to that.
I mean, if it did get to that, they could reverse it. I mean, I'm pretty sure if they find out it was a false positive, they're not going to hold you to the lifetime ban. So, but, you know, at the same time, it's one of those things where Mike Trout, you come out and you say something, I hope you never get popped for PEDs. This quote is going to be front and center, just like, you know, when Braun got caught again, or, you know, when his name was on the biogenesis list, you know, everything he said the first time, all that, you know, arrogant stuff that he said, that's what people threw right back into his face. So me, personally, even if I wasn't doing anything, I would probably just shut up and just chill. Because just like Kill said, not even with the lifetime ban, just from a reputation standpoint, I could get a false positive somewhere down the line, and I'm going to be, you know, judged before I even get my time in court. Exactly. Everybody's going to say, oh, he went out speaking all of that, and now he's in trouble for the same thing. So even if I end up getting off, there's going to be some people out there who are going to look at me sideways for the rest of my life. So.
Yeah, Casey Mack again. He says, wait till Trout has 10 years in.
Mike, he says, fishing, Mike, I hope they don't come up with no Trout on the line.
Saying, wait till he gets tired.
Wait till he gets 10 years in. Because most people tell you that steroids is not about hitting home runs and all that. It's about being able to recover.
Recover.
And, you know, recovery. Mike Trout is a young guy. So he's basically the Casey Mack is saying, wait till, you know, it's harder to recover in 10 years.
I completely understand, because now, like,
I feel like I need to take something now.
Uh-oh.
My two-handed windmill dunks now, man, it takes me 3 days to jump again.
Yo,
man, back 10 years ago.
Yo, man, same, yo, doing coil exercise? Never mind.
Mike Trout, Mike Trout, we hope they not fishing and they don't catch no trout on the line, bro.
Mm-hmm. Talking all that yin-yang. Don't get
talking
caught.
All that jazz.
Mm-hmm. But so in NBA news, I know LeBron, he decided not to run for Players Association president, so he's just going to remain King James. He's not interested in being President
King
James.
President.
Is this surprising to anybody? I mean, I don't think I ever thought he was that serious about it anyway. I think he considered it just from a little bit of a pressure standpoint. People were probably saying, yo, you should do this, you should do this. But I never thought LeBron had the time, first of all, because he's already pointed
LeBron
out he wants to be he wants to be a global icon. So
he wants to
be
an idea.
You don't really have be like Will Smith, you want to be an idea. So he doesn't really have time for what this entails. So anybody surprised?
I'm not surprised because it was going to take a whole lot of extra time and him going through. Like, if you're going to help represent the players and talk about the collective bargaining agreement, you need to know all the ins and outs and details because best believe the lawyers and the arbitrators and the mediaries of the owners and the owners themselves and the general managers, they're going to know the ins and outs of it. So LeBron just can't just be chilling and be like, oh, yeah, I think we should do this.
Right.
Say, well, LeBron,
but you know what?
Said he's not smart enough. It's not even really a knock on IQ, but he's not going to do the groundwork to educate himself to be in a position to be in that position. So it's
speaking
like,
of, B. Austin, speaking of, he said some comments last year where he was saying, you know, the Players Association was falling apart or something like that. And Jerry Stackhouse, who's a a high-ranking member in the Players Association, kind of took offense to that. He said, I think LeBron should further educate himself before he says stuff like that, because that wasn't the case at all. So what you guys saying, what you just said, that might be a clear, example of what you're talking about. Like, he just came out and spoke on something that he really didn't do the background on. Do you think that could have maybe helped
so
his decision as well?
Absolutely. Because LeBron is the type of dude. He's the type of dude. Hold on real quick. He's the type of dude where he's – I don't think LeBron necessarily is a dummy. I don't think he's a dummy, but I think that so much is handed to him where the decisions he makes are either so strategic and so high up, and he has no input in how things really get put together, or when he does have to have something put together, there are people there to do it for him, to where he didn't give a lot of thought into what he would have to do as holding that office. And if you think about it, look at the guys that are officers in the Players Association. No offense and no disrespect, but, like, they're usually cornball noodle dudes, like Kevin Ollie or Derek Fisher or – Willie Green. These are guys that once they leave the practice court, they have no life. People see them outside, and they're just tall dudes. This is another look at that tall dude.
The hell out of them.
They're not going to make appearances. They're not, involved in huge marketing campaigns. So they have the time to invest in really being involved in the business of basketball.
Because Zach out there had endorsements since Fila. And they
what was that joint he had? He had a whack commercial for it, yo. I think it was like either Samsung or Sony.
Jerry Stackhouse retire? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah, oh yo, it was Samsung back when Samsung used to be a bum brand before they came up. It's like Samsung and Sony like flipped spots. When Sony used to be that work and Samsung was a bum brand, now it's vice versa. But anyway,
like,
and Jerry Stackhouse had that
dumb
commercial. He's like, Samsung phones, they keep you in the game. It's horrible. I remember that commercial because it was so horrible. But anyway, I get what you're saying, and I think it's just a thing that LeBron means more to the NBA than any other player. So obviously the time he doesn't have to dedicate because he's a global brand himself. And could you imagine if he took on that job and then he didn't win a title, regardless of whether that was the reason or not? People will point to that. LeBron
I would love
means so much
to hear
to
how
basketball.
Many of the sycophants would call him President James.
They probably call him that now anyway.
No, they call him Dad.
They call him Dada. But no, the thing is, it's like he would put himself in a bad situation. If he became president and the Heat didn't, win another title,
Whether that was the reason or not, people will point to that. How much time is he dedicating? LeBron means
call him
more
your
as
highness.
A basketball player. Yeah, he means more as a basketball
the
player.
The royal penis is clean, your highness.
And we God bless him. We do have a couple Facebook community participants that have had LeBron in their stomach.
Like, oh yeah, we got some of his bathers on our page. That's all good. You know, I thank him for the participation.
Everywhere. But yeah, so now what we're doing is we're saying that his fan appeal and his notoriety.
I assume he has sex with his bathers. Oh, my bad.
We're saying that his notoriety or his popularity would have value in holding that office, but we're thinking more of that office in the terms of being a figurehead than it's not just a figurehead position. It's something
it's
where
not, it's not like the real presidency. It's not like
work.
The real presidency.
It's not like being a monarch. Like in if you think about Queen Elizabeth or you think about you know, the royal family in England, they don't do anything. So, yeah, King James, you don't do anything. But as President James, you would have to do some work.
Basically, you're saying it's not like the real presidency. It's not like Barry Sartorial has to do.
Barry Sartorial? Oh,
yeah.
Tell him who that is. Tell him
no,
who
I'm
it
not
is.
Getting into that, man. I'm not trying to have nobody try to assassinate me. But, you know, all
he
I'm
wasn't
saying
born
is
here.
There's no such person as Barack Obama registered to vote. But anyway,
I heard you're.
Barry Sartorial. Y'all can Google Barry Sartorial. But anyway,
where your brand at?
And that's the bottom line. LeBron is a global icon. He doesn't have enough time to dedicate to being the president. It would actually like do more harm than it would good, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's for the game as a whole because he's the face of the whole NBA at this point.
Hey Jimmy, do you think your Lakers will be bad enough next season to finish around 12th place in the Western Conference?
Yeah.
Because ESPN's rankings think so, and Kobe took. I mean, he didn't like say anything negative. He just make sure that we know that he knows that he saw the story, and they think he's using that as motivation because they said the Lakers
man,
will finish around 12th.
I love when he gets
motivation. I would have a problem, man. I mean, it's sort of like, you know, listen, man, you have to be motivated. You have to feel as though you're the best, man, you know, sort of like what Kendrick Lamar did. There's no shot to nobody, but
yeah.
You have to feel as though you're the best.
God bless Kendrick Lamar.
You have to feel as though you're the best, and he should be motivated. If he wasn't motivated by that, then I would feel some type of way. So, but I don't know about 12th, man. That's kind of crazy. Like, I still think – No, I think overall there's no chance of us winning a championship, and I will say that.
Right.
And that's partially due to the coach we got. But I think we have some talent, you know, possibly sneaking an eighth. I mean,
right.
It's crazy to say that considering you're losing Dwight. We only made it to seventh with him, but there was a lot of injuries. So. And also depends upon how fast Kobe comes back.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the things that are coming out lately, like those kind of rankings and – you know, just the state of the Lakers in everybody's eyes, I think it has a lot to do with no one trusting Kobe coming off an Achilles and being that strong next season. Because I can't possibly think, even at 34, you know, years old, I can't, or 35 when next season starts, I can't possibly think that anybody would think that a 100% healthy Kobe Bryant-led team will only finish 12th. So I think the Achilles has a lot to do with it.
I mean, it
has
a lot
of
things.
And then the age of the core of the roster. But
forget
that.
What was his 19th season? See, I mean,
it's going to be his 18th. Yeah, 18th.
Yeah, you have to look at it like this. No matter how great, and there's been a lot of great players that regardless of what they tell you, there's been a lot of great players, not just Michael Jordan. I mean, we've seen Magic Bird, Dr. J, Hakeem. Mike himself, and the one thing they've all have lost to is Father Time. So at some point, everybody slows down. And the thing is, we just haven't seen it yet with Kobe. But having that injury, if
that
you're a Kobe
help.
Detractor, or you know what I'm saying? So it's like if you're a Kobe detractor or you're someone that just tries to be objective, you have to look at it and say, he's not Superman. Everybody slows down. I remember watching Hakeem the Dream playing for the Raptors and wanting to cry. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I remember Patrick Ewing playing for the Supersonics.
Yeah.
You know
the worst
Jordan
thing to me, Jimmy, is to watch people play too long and mess up their stats. I mean, you know, I'm not a great stat guy, but if you have a nice legacy, a nice stat line in the NBA for the prime of your career, and then you stick around and play 5 minutes a game and score a half a point.
It's like you can't tell an athlete like you know not to play
right,
because this is all they've done since they were a kid. But to see like Scottie Pippen in a Trailblazers jersey, or Charles Barkley playing for the Rockets, or Patrick Ewing playing for like the Orlando Magic, and Hakeem in Toronto, Mike with the Wizards, sad.
Mike Wizards was still 22 a game though.
And I get
Mike.
That, but the thing is, he's competing against Mike who was 30 a game.
I was about to say,
like,
22 a game still could have messed up his legacy. He only lost like a point off of his legacy during that whole time.
But he could have
gone under 30, and that would have been messed up, like Michael Jordan.
I mean, Joe Montana was one play away from the Super Bowl playing with the Chiefs, but I still didn't want to see him with the Chiefs. Jerry
and plus,
Rice was one of those with the Raiders.
Hurt their legacy.
Who?
Oh, go ahead, Doug.
No, I was about to say, I don't even think it's because we were saying you can't tell players, you know, they've done this all their life. I don't even think it's just that because B. Austin just asked why is Stackhouse still playing because somebody's still willing to pay Jerry Stackhouse. That's why.
Yeah.
If I'm sitting here now feeling the way I feel,
and
somebody going to give me $1 million, I'll play.
I'm talking about guys who are at the top of the pyramid who become synonymous with one franchise and, you know, the franchise wants to move on. I feel you. You know
but it's still like one of them things.
Even
like if somebody's still willing to pay this cat, he's not thinking like a fan. Like, who cares about that uniform?
You know, even though Jerry Rice went to the Super Bowl with the Raiders, I still didn't like that, yo. Like,
I don't even remember that. Like, I remember he went to the Super Bowl, but my memory has taken that out of my brain that Jerry
Rice.
That's
what I mean, yo. You try to. It's funny he says that, but I get what he's saying. You try to remove that, like. No one wants to remember Hakeem like.
Yo, I try not to remember
Raptors,
that just because of his hairline with them cornrows. Like, yo, he took his helmet off. Yo, his hang time was none of that.
there are so many cases of this, man. Where you like, yo,
like
just go away. Remember Emmitt Smith playing for Arizona Cardinals, yo?
Yo, I remember Emmitt crying because Roy hit him. And he cried.
Yeah, Roy Williams made him cry in a press conference. He started reflecting on
his
kids.
Roy hit him in the hole, and he came in the press conference and said, "I love my daughter and my life."
That's when he started thinking about retiring. He made that man dance with the stars, for real. But look.
Yo, and I'm not a Roy Williams fan, but that's one of my more favorite moments in football because I dislike Emmitt so much.
I enjoy watching him tackle people. I
didn't enjoy him in coverage though. Ooh,
You don't want to see. You don't want to see Emmitt with him, man. You don't like to see none of these great players. Playing with them bootleg franchises to try to hold on.
But the thing is, in Emmitt's case, though, is different from basketball because all he did was add yards on to the legacy, and it's going to be harder to break. In basketball, you're dealing in averages, so you mess up your average that way. But Emmitt didn't do anything but help.
And there's a guy that we all know and love who gets slandered and is currently on the way to killing himself. At one point in time, he was – He was number three on the scoring list, average-wise, and I think he ended his career at number five.
Because he played three games and scored, like, 2 points. But
yo,
listen,
I don't know who he's talking about, yo.
Talking about AI.
Oh, Bubba Chuck?
I thought it was Karl Malone.
Karl Malone ended on the Lakers, though, B. Like, what is that?
Yeah.
Kill, your man Pippen was playing for Portland.
Yup. And then came back to the Bulls and looked even worse when he came back to the Bulls.
Pippen just retired like 3 years ago. He was like over in
Russia. We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
All right, but look, speaking of him.
Speaking of him,
I just want to ask you guys a quick question because, you know, we're going to get in some football talk in a minute. But I want to know how you guys feel about this because I've actually heard some outcry, some uproar from the fans in Philadelphia. 76ers owner Josh Harris, he and his partner David Blitzer just bought the New Jersey Devils in the National Hockey League. For $320 million, they got the Devils and the lease to the Prudential Center up in Jersey. A lot of Philly fans really don't like this because, as we all know, the 76ers share a building with the Flyers, one of the Devils' rivals. You guys got any problem with this move? Let's take it away from a business standpoint because, you know, we can't knock it as a businessman, but as a fan of the city, do you have a problem with the owner of the 76ers?
Yes,
being
I
in
do.
The same
Yo,
building.
Even if you're a Hooba, you can't sleep with me and then sleep with the enemy.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, what does he have to do with the Flyers though?
Yeah, but think about all the spy tactics. Like the fact that he's there in the building. Now, only he knows if he'll be on the up and up. But think of all the information he can glean from the Flyers and their facility by him being there.
He's not a GM. He's not a president. He's the
That's
owner.
Funny because
he don't even know who's on the team.
I haven't even heard that spin on it. I heard a lot of fans thinking that eventually he might try to move the 76ers to Jersey. He promised that he's not going to do that. He went on TV and said the 76ers are staying in Philly. So he kind of dispelled those rumors. But I don't know the dude. I don't know his
kind
word.
Of fan, kind,
bond,
of fan, so. Kind of fan base he got here, man. A couple cats I know. A couple big beard dudes I know. He tried to move to Philly. Yo, he wouldn't make it, bro. And the thing is, though, here's the thing, though. I mean, he's a money guy. He's not involved with the day-to-day operations of any of these teams. He's just a businessman who's looking at investing money. And trying to
That's
like,
what
know,
they said about Jerry Jones, but it was not the case. That's what they said about
Jerry
Al
Jones,
Davis.
Jerry Jones, Al Davis started as a coach and a GM, so he's always been involved. He never was an owner guy. He worked his way up to being an owner. As a matter of fact, he brodied it. That's a whole other story. But Al Davis was a coach from the get-go. And in terms of Jerry Jones, he's always been involved. I mean, this guy hasn't been involved with Sixers since he owned him.
Yeah, my thing is, I feel that it's kind of weird, but I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I mean, there are people who are upset. I mean, go to facebook.com/warroomsports and see the two status updates that we have on it and look at some of the comments from Philly fans. Like, people are really, really upset about this. And
if you look across the major sports teams, there are people that own teams in multiple sports in different cities all over the place.
Yeah, that's
even
true.
Even in different, like, countries. It's all over the place.
I think this one is a little different, though, because they are kind of like rivals, the Flyers. And
yeah.
But I still don't see it the way everybody's, you know, seeing it. I just think, you know, dude invested in another team. It's going to be kind of weird. Because, you know, one night he's going to be in the building watching the Sixers, and then the next night he might be in the building when the Devils come to town watching his other team. So does he get
to
sit in the same suite, or he got
to
sit in the visitor's office suite?
Dude is strictly about putting capital into different businesses. Like, he didn't even come to the Sixers game. Like, he wasn't there. I mean, you know, because there's multiple owners, so most of the guys that show up at the games and sit around are guys that they're not even the majority owners. You know what I'm saying? The majority owners are about their bread.
And half these owners
don't care
if the team win or lose, if they turn a profit. Don't matter.
That's all that matters.
And that's another thing, though. I mean, he didn't grow up a Philly fan, so people can't really expect him to think like fans. You know what I mean? He might not even be a Sixers fan. Shit, I just bought the team.
Why not? That's what he gave Will Smith, like, 1/2 of a 15% for.
He gave him a Hova cut. Hova. all right, so last thing before we talk some football. This could be our segue into football. Former Eagle Hugh Douglas. You know, he was on the show on ESPN, Numbers Never Lie,
Numbers
with Michael
Never
Smith.
Lie.
And now Jemele Hill. He got canned by ESPN because of an altercation he had at a conference with his co-host, Michael Smith. You know, we heard some things were thrown out his mouth, called Michael Smith a house N and a Uncle Tom, and he was supposedly drunk while the conference was going on. So what do you guys think about that? Are you surprised? I'm not surprised
because we have seen and heard indications in the past of Hugh's character. And I think T.O. even had to show Hugh what it was really about and give him the handwork, because Hugh's mouth got a little slick, got a little smart. And Hugh is kind of, he's a sucker dude, because he's one of those guys that's kind of, he's a bully. He believes he's big, he's the athlete, he's going to impose his size and stature on folks. And so he found somebody to pick on. He thought he could pick on T.O. because T.O.'s a little wide out. T.O. washed him up. And this is just more behavior of the same. It's the same Hugh Douglas that we heard of in the past.
I mean, I just think he was, I just think he was expendable to them because, you know, really he's just the jock. And ESPN replace him with any jock, you know, to do that kind of show. So if it comes down to him,
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says your services are no longer needed in the community.
If it comes down to him and somebody who's risen through the ranks like a Michael Smith, then, you know, they're going to pick Michael Smith every time. And also the fact that he used the house N-word, I think that's another thing that's going to make them, you know, they're trying to separate themselves from that. So they're like, okay, we do it when a white guy says it, we got to get away from that. So we just want to get away from it. Everybody wants to look good to black people now. So even if a black dude uses that in the work environment, then they're going to can that dude too. So I'm surprised they paid for his trip back to Bristol after the conference.
My thing is this, though, I talked to people who were there, and they said that basically he was totally out of pocket. He was on turn-up juice. So Michael Smith did nothing wrong, actually. Michael Smith was trying to basically save him.
But
he was
Michael
trying
Smith,
to save the ball.
When it first started, Jimmy, Michael Smith was on a panel talking, and dude came out of nowhere trying to walk up to the panel and grab microphones and talk while he was drunk. His job was gone right there. It didn't even have to be a later conversation.
Here's my take on it.
Behavior. This isn't new behavior from Hugh Douglas. Just like Jimmy said, dude was completely out of pocket. It was almost unprovoked.
But my thing is this, Beyonce. If alcohol does that to you, you know that. So you shouldn't be drinking in public like that, because you already know you can't handle your alcohol. And you're representing a company.
He doesn't know he can't handle it, though. He thought.
Man,
that
he's
he
probably.
Was open.
There's no way you can tell me this is his first situation where he's blown up and it has to do with the turnip juice. And
do you think he was drunk in the Eagles?
It's called denial,
Jimmy.
Nobody thinks that they can't handle their liquor.
Yeah, and here's the thing, man. I mean,
it's one of those things. It's denial. Nobody in this world admits that they can't handle their liquor. So,
the thing is, he wasn't that great on TV. I mean, you know, they probably put him around
expensive.
Talent to make him great.
He was trash.
Like my man Tripp said on Juice, man. Just because you pour syrup on something doesn't make it pancakes, man. But anyway, here's the thing, though. It's like Michael Smith tried to save this dude, but he's out of pocket. He couldn't control his alcohol, and he does some things that he shouldn't have. I'm more disappointed in him because he basically, you know, how many athletes out there, retired athletes, would love to be in the spot that he had? All he had to do was just shut up, make little jokes once in a while, and he had a nice little gig. They're actually probably dying to get in his space.
Now we're going to get on. And they can't get on. And if they do get on, it might be on some rinky-dink local type stuff.
Exactly.
You know,
he was holding
the
spot
on
for somebody.
So, what you're saying essentially is that Hugh Douglas is yet again a system player. Because when he was in the Eagles system, he was all right. They got him out of there. He couldn't get any sacks. He begged his way back. So he was a system player for ESPN. He didn't really have much.
But here's my thing, though. How many retired athletes probably, like, a lot of them probably called their agents as soon as they got the news. Like, whoa, let's see if I can get in there. Because he kind of blew it. That's like a retired player's dream, especially someone of his caliber. It's not like we're talking about Ray Lewis. We're talking about Hugh Douglas. So he had it made. He was chilling.
Where he messed up, I think he let so many people down because he made the transition from NFL player to sports analyst, had himself a nice job. Some people didn't think he was that good of an analyst. So to just get so pissy drunk like that and then put himself in an unfortunate situation, now I'm figuring out how is Hugh Douglas going to earn income for the rest of his life?
He's not. He's going to be on broke.
Broke too?
Broke too.
All right, man. Well, whatever. He played himself. But everybody, make sure you check out our website, like we tell you all the time, warroomsports.com. To call in and speak with us about any of today's topic, dial the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. So, you know, let's talk. Let's get into this NFL talk.
For the people who are still actually playing.
Not for you.
Yeah, shout out to Hugh Douglas, man. You're about to be a War Room Sports correspondent, man. Except the difference is we want you to drink everywhere you go to make for better stories.
We paying minimum wage.
Yo, this NFL rap is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show at the War Room on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, your BlackBerry, or your Palm phone. If you have a BlackBerry or a Palm phone, kill yourself. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Listen, just go to Stitcher.com/TheWarRoom. That's one word. And don't forget to use the coupon code TheWarRoom to enter into a contest to win a bunch of money. Now, let's talk some football, gentlemen. I got to hear what my brother B. Austin has to say about this first story, and that is the No Fun League. You know, they're making a lot of changes, and some people are pissed about it, but what do you feel about the NFL banning custom face masks?
I don't really know. I don't know. I don't see or understand the reason in the ban. I saw Brian Arakpo's interview. He's got some face mask that looked like Bane from Batman. And he claimed it's to keep linemen's fingers from penetrating the face mask, because you all know
right.
offensive linemen are some of the dirtiest fat people ever in terms of the way that they play sports. They will poke you, chew you, they'll do whatever to get an advantage on the block. So I get where he's coming from. I get the usability and the practical purposes of the face mask. I guess my thing is...
you know what, though? Be awesome. Dudes say what? That, but you know dudes are doing it because they saw somebody else doing it and it looks cool. Come on.
Yeah, it does. That was kind of going to be my next statement. At the end of the day, plenty of people play without these face masks at the same positions. And ultimately, I looked at the face mask, and I was immediately drawn to the fact that it looked really, really, really effing cool. And so,
but, yo, here's the thing, though. Do you guys remember, you know, like when you were a kid and you played Little League? And, yo, that used to be one of the most exciting times, yo, is when you, like,
ever
put a face mask on.
Yo, I want the
robot.
Get
your equipment. Yeah, exactly. Like they're taking that away from kids, man. Like, yo, that was the most exciting time of like Little League football, yo.
Look,
that's the first thing I thought of when I saw this.
This is like last week. This is like last week for me, because y'all know I keep my eye to social media all week. So like last week with the celebration rules, like fans were livid. Same thing with this. Fans came back out, even asking me, like, do you see anything wrong with this? Why are they doing this? Another thing where I think the NFL is definitely over-legislating something that's very unnecessary, but it's another thing where I don't care. Like, I don't care. I don't tune in to see who has the coolest face mask, so I don't care. Like, everybody's talking about the No Fun League. I'm more upset at them changing the way you can tackle people than the way you can celebrate. I don't care about the fun. Like, I don't watch it for that. So when people ask me, I guess they think, you know, they could just ask us anything because we're sports guys. But some things I don't care about the fun. Like,
you're a purist. But
I do admit, though. I know, but I do admit that the league is over-legislating because this is very unnecessary. But at the same time, I think where they dropped the ball is that when the announcement was made, they had no good reason to justify why they did this. Now, later on later on in the week, VP of officiating, Dean Blandino, went on to the Dan Patrick Show, and he told the host, because Dan Patrick was out that day, I think it was like Mike Florio, he told him that the players may be too likely to initiate head-first contact if they were wearing these supersized face masks. So they're basically saying, and of course, a handful of players like Chris Canty, cats like that, they have medical clearance to wear this stuff, and these are the guys who started it. But like you said, you know, people see, monkey do. So that's a cool-looking face mask, so I'm going to get it. But they said they think when people wear these masks, since your face is basically untouchable in some of these masks, they think it's going to initiate more head-to-head contact. I think that's bogus. I think that's BS. I think they took a couple of days to come up with something because they had nothing other than the fact that they just want everything to be uniform like a homeowners association or something.
That's exactly what it is. And, yo, first of all, shout out to Ezra from Idiot Sports Talk, one of the funniest guys on YouTube. Check him out. But he says that the NFL players will be playing in business suits in a few years. Basically, they don't want these guys to have a personality. And I agree with that. It's sort of like Dev said, the whole homeowners association analogy. They want everything to be – it's sort of like the Yankees, yo. They're about to start legislating whether you can have a facial hair or not. Watch.
I encourage the taunting, so I'm really against the fact that they –
Because the reason that football has become as big as it is not because of guys like us or purists. It's because of the average fan. And the average fan watches strictly for entertainment purposes. They don't care about, like, you know, the purity of the game and the they want to be entertained. So for them, when they see this, they're like, you're taking some of the fun out of the game, which is why that whole thing started. So I get that.
But it's kind of corny, B. Austin. Like, how many times have we watched a game, especially when you're watching your own team? Say somebody scores on your team, a team that you know you're better than. Somebody scores or catches a first down pass in like the first 2 minutes of the game, and they acting like, you know, the game is over, and they taunting, and you just waiting like, man, I can't wait to the end of the game, so that dude can feel stupid. So that gets a little corny.
Yo, to the point now.
I was looking forward to Richard Sherman running up on Roddy White and saying, "Where your bread at?
Where your bread at? Yo, it's cats." Catch the ball now, a 2-yard hitch, and just to get up and start pointing towards the first down. Don't even get the first down.
Gil's homie started that. Yo, playmaker was faint. Playmaker would have a 1-yard catch and get up and do the Cupid shuffle.
Yo, you had defensive linemen.
Kind of corny.
Yo, defensive linemen start dancing when they get hurries now. It's not even a sack no more. You get a hurry. First of all,
dude, yeah. You made the quarterback throw the ball out of bounds and you do a sack dance.
Yo,
come on, man.
That's a dumb stat anyway. Why do they keep that stat? He has hurries. Like, anyway, that's about as dumb as a half a sack.
He just forced the quarterback to throw the ball away, and he reached into his arrow sack and shot off an arrow to the roof of the stadium.
Yeah,
like,
it's like,
man, what are you doing?
But I agree with a little bit of what Ezra's saying, because they definitely don't want him to have a personality. And I guess that's the way they want to run their league, and if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do.
Very good for groupies, because groupies already benefit from the NFL players having the helmet, what's called the helmet syndrome. NFL dudes are going to spend more money to distinguish themselves because people don't know who they are.
Don't know who they are, yeah, you're right.
This is less opportunity for them to distinguish themselves, so more young ladies' tuitions are going to be paid.
Yo, shout out to all the toots out there listening to the War Room. But anyway,
the college toots.
So, all the college toots. But I think that definitely is part of it, man. But at the end of the day, once football starts, no one cares about any of these stories because
we all love the game so much. Nobody complaining will stop watching football. So we might as well.
You know. Anyway,
they out there in business suits and helmets. We still gonna watch.
Yo, it's funny watching like the old highlights of games, and coaches used to be shitty sharp on the sideline with their suits on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They bowl hats and everything. Now they even legislate that you have to wear team apparel because they want you to model for them to sell more merchandise.
And your man just look like a hobo doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Belichick. He
Philip Keaton coming to the sidelines.
He looked like a homeless. He looked like Tom Brady gave a homeless dude a hoodie.
No, but the thing is, if you've seen him like outside of like working, that's how he walks around town. Like Bill Belichick probably got he probably got more money than any other coach in the league, just because he makes that much and he don't spend money on nothing.
He probably stinks.
Yeah, he probably ain't got cable. Yo,
he just got
what I need cable for? All I want to watch is film.
Uh huh. Cheap bastard. Anyway, let's talk about this story. They talk about
cheap.
Former NFL players to be used as ATH test dummies. Yo, what you think about that, man?
Wait, repeat this.
Huh? Listen, you heard me right. Former players are going to be used as test dummies, you know, for HGH tests.
They're looking for go ahead, Kill.
Yeah, HGH. I was going to say the NFL, they can solve two problems here. I'm not saying this is ethically right, and I agree with it, but I'm sure you're going to have players who are hurting for money who are going to get a check for every shot or injection or appointment that they have to see how the HGH is working in their bodies. So
shout out to Hugh Douglas.
Shout out to T.O.
Yeah, because what they're going to do, they're trying to get 100 former NFL players, and they're going to inject them with different levels of HGH to help them out when they start testing players for it. So, you know, they're trying to find a level that's going to be that level of illegality. Like, you know, like the blood alcohol level. They're trying to find out that level. So they're going to shoot up 100
dudes.
They don't have any guys right. Yeah, and that's the thing. You might end up, you know, if you have a small level in your system, from what it sounds like, you might be able to get away with it. But if you're over that blood HGH level, then you're going to get in trouble. But, yeah, they have to use somebody to do it. So they're going to use former NFL players because these dudes are kind of like in similar shape to these guys. They're like the same size. They have to take a sample size that's like the dudes that they're going to be testing in the league. So I don't think they found their 100 guinea pigs yet, but when they start flashing money in some of these dudes' broke-ass faces,
listen, man.
People are going to be like, shoot me. Shoot me.
Listen, man. Jimmy, they're trying to help the unemployment rate, man. Shout out to NFL for helping the unemployment rate. It is what it is, man.
So that's that.
Yo.
You know.
Anyway, speaking of, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, Adrian Peterson.
Dang.
He said that the rumors about him being on PEDs, he takes that as a compliment. Because basically what you're telling him is he's so good that he must be on drugs because he's that good.
Yeah, I got his quote.
Hey, I like it. Original black man. I like it.
He says, seriously, especially with the amount of work I put in, guys say that to me, or if I hear someone saying that, it makes me feel good. When you know you don't do it and someone's saying you do, you're like, wow. They think I'm on HGH. I'm doing that good. Well, who? I don't know what well who means. Thank you, Jesus. It's a compliment. I don't get mad about it at all. You know, that's what you say in front of the media. But you're going to get a little frustrated.
Man, I totally dig where he's coming from. I've been in some coital exercises, and they say, what, you took a little blue pill?
Yo!
You're like, no, thanks.
Yo!
No, but thanks.
I'll be like, no, babe, I'm all natural.
Yo!
Yo, this dude, yo, ban this dude from the radio, man. What's wrong with you, man?
Yo,
I don't know where AJ is coming from. I got common ground.
But it has to be one of those things, like we said about Mike Trout. Don't let us find out later that you was taking it. You'll look much better saying this stuff if you weren't. What you say, Jim?
All right. We have a comment in the chat room. I want to see what you guys think about this. I think the name is Hibachi Naj, whatever. They said that they think they're doing this testing because in the future they want to allow HGH in the NFL. With the injuries they get, HGH would be the best thing in terms of recovery. So maybe they're trying to, like, you know, see how it works to make it.
So maybe they're going maybe they'll make the level higher than we think. You know what I mean?
I
like
agree.
You just can't go overboard. But, yeah.
I think them dudes need it for what their bodies go through.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about I know baseball players play 162 games, so they're playing damn near every day, maybe one break per week. But still, what they're doing isn't as strenuous as what an NFL player is doing just once a week. You know, and then you got to add in the practice. Even though once the season starts, they're not practicing as, you know, as hard or with as much contact as they did in training camp. But, you know, playing a football game once a week is crazy.
It's like I'm about to go to you go to the arena to get into a bunch of car accidents.
Man, Jerome Bettis said on Monday,
I didn't get out of the derby.
Couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at in the chat room, Hibachi Naj said, they either need a shorter season or HGH, one or the other, yo.
Yeah, and they're trying to make longer seasons, so they have a really good point. They might end up making this legal because they're trying to make the NFL season even longer. But
yo, they're trying to milk this for as much as they can before they ruin the whole sport, yo. That's what they're doing.
Now,
they're ruining the sport.
Check this out,
Jim. You know what the people want to? Okay.
Now I was gonna say Bill Romanowski. He's actually a big proponent of HGH because he feels as though, one, it's going to help the recovery. Obviously, it's going to allow players to play longer. He feels as though it's going to help the brain. He just feels like that the NFL and pro sports are behind not using this because guys are breaking down so fast.
You can't be using Bill Romanowski, though, because he's already taken illegal drugs.
Romanowski shot
ever.
Everything into his body.
Including
Bill, what are you using on your program? Everything.
Molly. He on Molly right now.
Syrup, painkiller, cigarette, weed, and a vodka. I'm on everything.
Bill Roman now use everything.
He's a dude. Anyway. You look across the line, his nose probably bleeding. Like,
yellow shit in his eyes. I'm jaundiced.
That's why he was acting.
Still smarter than McNabb.
Yo, he used to spit on people.
And he's still smarter than McNabb. Yo, what?
Yo, speaking of McNabb, let's jump into this. RG3, because we're going to get into a whole McNabb RG3 thing, but first off.
Yeah.
What's up with RG3 and Mike Shanahan in the media? RG3 really is the king of DC right now, man, bar none.
Yeah, see, now they, you know, being close to the situation, it dragged on for the early part of the week in the media. RG3 basically publicly questioned the Redskins coach's plan for him. Like, at this point, he hadn't been in 11-on-11 drills. They were only playing him 7-on-7. They already basically said he's not playing the preseason, but he thinks that they were bringing him along a little too slowly, so he felt the need to say it publicly, you know, to the media. So later on in that same day, Mike Shanahan had his press conference, and of course, you know, the media went back, well, RG3 said this, RG3 said that. So Mike Shanahan spoke up and let everybody know that he was the head dude in charge and was saying, because RG3 basically said, I don't really understand the plan they have for me, but, you know, I'll have to abide by it. You know, I gave them my word that I was going to rehab a certain way, and they gave me their word that I was going to be starting week one. So when they relayed this back to Mike Shanahan, he basically was saying, well, there was no deal made. He's like, we're going to monitor his progress, and if he's ready to go, he's ready to go. If he's not, he was like, who knows when it could be. He could maybe not play till week 5 or week 6 or something like that. So, of course, the next day they go back and tell RG3, and it just went back and forth throughout the early part of the week. And we know last year when he got injured, he kind of made some comments that was questioning Mike Shanahan and the way he used him. Even though, you know, some of that he had to take accountability himself, because you heard the audio of him on the sideline telling his offensive linemen not to tell them how hurt he really is. So it's just been a big back and forth about the whole injury, and that's even where the comments from McNabb come in. But we can talk about that later. You know, we get this whole Redskin Shanahan situation out the way. What do you guys think? Because I started to hear this even from people on the radio in D.C., and y'all know they worship RG3 down here. I heard Brian Mitchell talking, basically saying RG3 needs to shut up because eventually if he keeps this up, he could become a distraction in the locker room. not because the players aren't going to take his side, but if they see that a guy can openly challenge the coach and not be held accountable for it, then everybody else may, you know, other guys might start questioning the coach in public or doing things like that. He kept mentioning every coach he played for, Gibbs, Andy Reid, everybody. He said it's not that he never had confrontations, but he would go to their office and they would talk things out. He would never do it through the media. Right. So what do you guys think about that? Do you think, you know, RG3 might be reading his press clipping a little too much? Because you know how they hold him up in this city in particular.
Yeah. I'm not in this just I'm not saying this just because he's the cornball brother or because he disrespected our President Obama and didn't go to his press dinner. I'm not saying this because he likes pink toes. I'm not saying this because of how he wears his hair. I'm not, these are not, you know, shots at RG3 for having bad skin or dissing the system. This is really boils down to RG3. You have to show some respect for the hierarchy of a football team. Shut your damn mouth. Like, Shanahan's in a position where he's damned if he does and damned if he don't. There's already every Redskins fan, particularly of the African-American hue, says that Shanahan shouldn't have put RG3 out there when RG3 was the one demanding the play. And now they're saying that they should listen to RG3 and let him play immediately. So he's in a bad position, period, in terms of fans. But the reality is you don't question your coach. That's a part of great leadership and character development.
He's not publicly.
If you have a problem, if you have a problem with Shanahan, go to him, argue, scream, fight, punch it out in the office, in the locker room. The minute you take it outside of the locker room, you become like the guy that's trying to give you advice that we'll talk about later. You're going into the media and throwing your coach under the bus, essentially. So this is not a good look, and I get the sense that RG3 has a very, very high opinion of himself. He's very cocky. He's very, you know, arrogant. And
how can
and
you not be living in the
successful.
DMV? Yo, how can you not be living in the DMV?
With all
and
the blumpkin,
here's
he can get a blumpkin from any man or woman walking around this town.
Yo!
Like, how can
here's
you
my
not
thing, man.
Think you're the king?
Yo. Shout out to B. Also for everything he just said, because he defended AI for doing the same type stuff. But anyway, it's just one of those things where RG3 is a young guy, man, and I could only imagine with the kind of, like, you know, fame and fortune and, like, adulation that he's gotten at this young age. Like, yo, could you imagine if you were his age and, like Dev said, you could have any man, woman, or child in the entire area. Everyone looks at you like a hero. Like,
no,
can you imagine
alert.
Where you're – it's like, yo, no Amber Alert. It's like, yo, your ego would be through the roof. I just, actually, it's one of those things where, yo, there's nowhere to go but down from here, yo. RG3's going to have to win 2 to 3 Super Bowls to live up to the hype. Because
next year.
He's being put
and
on this.
He can't even throw for 2,000 yards yet.
Yo, it don't. He has to win chips. Stats don't even matter no more, yo. He has to, matter of fact, he has to win 2 chips next year. He got to win 2 in 1 year somehow. Because the way he's being treated, and it looks like he's reading his press clippings, man, because he basically walked up to Shanahan and said, yo, where's your bread? I mean,
you know
that's
what it
basically
is, though,
what
Jimmy,
it is.
Because, you know, we always use that old saying, reading your press clippings. You know, it's now they really can. Like, it's Twitter. You can be on Twitter and Facebook, and you can see how fans will, you know, just go out of their way.
Sending him gifts.
To rip him, yeah.
Yo.
So,
yo, B. Austin, this is no lie. If you go look at his mentions, right, it's grown men offering their wives to him. Like, yo, you can have my wife when you want her, yo.
Yo, I don't. Yo, we can't talk about him anymore. Next topic, yo. I'm done.
I'm just saying,
offends me.
It does, yo. But just imagine, like, I always try to put myself in their shoes. Like, he's being an a-hole. We all agree on that, but at the same time, I don't know if I couldn't be an a-hole at that age getting that much. I was an a-hole and I didn't even have that.
I was about
much.
To say, I was
so,
an a-hole.
Yeah, I was an a-hole. I was an a-hole and not nowhere near that. So imagine getting what he has at that age. Like, he's not mature. He hasn't matured yet. And,
you know, hopefully.
See, but that's the thing, Jimmy. That's what always comes into question, because the pundits out there want to tell you how mature he is. You know what I'm saying? They're not allowing him to be young because
there's only
they
so
want
mature
to tell
you can
see
at his age.
Yeah, they're telling you how mature he is. When,
I don't care if you're Doogie Howser. It's only
what are they doing?
You can have it.
It's like, what are they doing to gauge that? Because
well,
it sounds like they're just part of
is.
The adulation group and they're just saying things.
He doesn't fit the mold of the typical Floridian athlete that we see in the NFL. He's not Chris Johnson. He can speak English. He's reasonably articulate. He's funny. He's witty. Media training. So they equate that with maturity. That's maturity.
Listen,
to them.
He's mature.
He doesn't go
he's
out.
Mature.
Doesn't go out.
Yo, this isn't maturity.
But I mean, the Manning brothers made a rap video too.
And you don't want me to go in on them.
The Manning brothers got paid for that.
They got
James Harbaugh like that.
That was,
they got a
check. That was DirecTV sanctioned. Shout out to DirecTV.
Yo, yeah, shout out to DirecTV. So, as a matter of fact, I'm not saying anything bad about that. All
that
I'm saying is.
Rap.
Oh, yeah, as a matter of fact, that was some of the best rap I've heard this week, man.
That was like
they better than Kendrick. Eli got better bars than Kendrick, though.
Yo, Jimmy, Kendrick Lamar's verse was a response to them. Instead, everybody
was
responding
responding
to Kendrick Lamar. They were responding to the man. Yeah, he was responding to the man.
But be honest, talking about your boy, though, man, like I just want to see this is why I can't wait for college football to start, because it's kind of like the same thing with Johnny Manziel. The pressure on these guys is going to be through the roof, and a lot of it they're bringing on themselves from the way they're behaving. So, you know, RG3's been in the news all week. He also mentioned in the GQ article that the whole thing with Rob Parker. Shout out to Rob Parker. That's the homie.
Yo, shout out. Free Rob Parker.
Yo, RG3 says he didn't want Rob Parker to lose his job. Now, that may be true, but, you know, he didn't come up with that bread either, though. He didn't come out and defend him when it happened, but it's easy to say now. You know, so it is what it is.
Yo,
but,
with the amount of sycophants, dick riders, and idolaters that RG3 had, all he would have had to do is say, fans and followers, I don't want Rob fired. Go do your work. And Rob would have had a job.
RG3 has so much pull. You see, he could have made him the head coach of the Redskins. RG3
so,
played Jedi mind tricks in D.C., yo.
So, also, Jimmy, in that GQ is where he said, because I know you guys remember Donovan McNabb tried to reach out to him and said he wanted to have a sit-down with him.
Give him
some advice and stuff like that. So RG3 said in that same GQ article that Jimmy just brought up, without being prompted, he said, I'm not saying McNabb's far from an idiot, but, you know, I think I'll stay away from that conversation. And it's kind of like, you know, who said McNabb was an idiot? Like, where'd that come from? Is that basically a way of actually saying McNabb is an idiot? So I don't want to talk
about it. I like RG3 now.
Yeah, see, I watch B. Austin start defending him now. Yo,
RG3, let me read, because, you know, Donovan has a show now. Based in Phoenix, an NBC radio show with Mark Malone. And he responded to RG3's comment. You want to say what you're saying first before I read this, Jim?
Yeah, all I want to say is, man, like, B. Austin brought up a point in terms of this whole RG3 thing, is that he definitely has a lot of pull. I mean, I'm starting to think that the whole DMV area is now a member of the People's Temple, as Jim Jones followers were once called. Because some of the stuff I see is just out of control.
Najee Rumba.
Yeah, Najee Rumba.
RG Rumba.
And now this situation with McNabb, it's just out of control, man. So let us know what McNabb said in response to this, though.
All right. So McNabb kind of went in. He responded to Robert Griffin and his refusal to sit down with him. And McNabb said, and I quote, "I'm just trying to help you. but clearly we should actually just play the soundbite. We didn't get it in time. I'm just trying to help you, but clearly the young generation think they have all the answers. And he's going through a little turmoil right now trying to get out on the field, and it's unfortunate, but that's where we're at right now as far as these young quarterbacks who think they have all the answers. Until things start to fall apart and come down trembling on you, I think he meant crumbling, but you know, you're not too bright, then you want some help. But it's a shame.
There's the idiot.
I honestly think that over there in Washington, he's getting brainwashed. He's getting input from whoever it may be of there's no reason to talk to him. It didn't work out here. If they expressed their dislike when I was there and what I used to do, so be it. But I hope the best for this young man. But the direction he's going in is a direction he does not want to do. He does not want to go there with me, especially when I've got the last word. Be Austin.
Yeah,
you've been outspoken throughout the whole quote. What are your thoughts? Do you think he should have sat down with McNabb, or like you said, for who, for what?
Here's my thing. Well, let me see before B. Austin starts to punish McNabb. Pause that. I just want to say that, yo, as much as I dislike Donovan as a quarterback, yo, I love Donovan in the media. Because he tells exactly how he feels, whether right or wrong, and is always entertaining, and he takes things personal, so it makes for great entertainment. With that being said, I think RG3 handled it wrong. Yo, he takes everything personal. Anytime anybody says anything about him, he takes it so personal. And, you know, so I think he's actually going to be a good member of the media. He's going to cause for a lot of controversy. Like I said, I want to see him and Rodney Harrison get their own show because they hate everybody.
They hate everything.
With that being said, though, I think that RG3, like, handled it the wrong way. Like, even if you genuinely don't care, like, the guy's reaching out to you just trying to help you out. And there's a thing, like, you know, in terms of quarterbacks and having a fraternity. Can I finish, man? And then you talk about African-American quarterbacks, and it's a smaller fraternity. And if you using that logic, we always talk about how we don't help each other. We're crabs in a barrel. We don't want to reach back and help. So now we're punishing the guy for trying to do just that. I think McNabb handled it wrong in terms of his response, but initially, trying to reach out and help a guy, basically, you're going to kill him for trying to help somebody. Is that what you're going to do, Justin?
Mm-mm, not at all. I'm going to tell you that we know that Donovan McNabb is super self-absorbed, and when you want to truly help someone, you find a way to do it through channels that are private. It doesn't need to be in the media. But see, what Donovan is doing is trying to stay relevant because he's fickle at the way his career ended. Donovan's looking at Peyton Manning. He's looking at Tom Brady. He's looking at Drew Brees. He's looking at all of these guys who are his contemporaries, still getting money, still getting accolades, still getting acclaim, and he can't get a job to play in Canada. So
what
my man is still trying to
stay relevant.
Still trying to stay relevant, and he is making something personal. If you really had this man's best interests at heart, then you make it a back channel move that none of us would ever know about because it's not about people knowing.
But how do we know he didn't do that? And the second thing is
bringing it out into the public.
Because the back channel move, may have not worked.
We're having a public conversation. Now, for the sake of this show, Jimmy, you're going to go down this path, but we all know Donovan's character. We've seen it demonstrated in the past. This dude, see, what you have is two men, and it's not even about ethnicity. You have two men who are egomaniacs.
It is about ethnicity.
Have two men who are egomaniacs to an extent, and RG3 is like, I'm not listening to this dumb black guy that couldn't get it done. He's a bum. And I don't need any help. I got it under control.
And
so
if you think
you're not
Shanahan
humble,
didn't
you're not
have anything
enough,
to do with that.
You're not humble enough to take any advice because you're RG3 and you're sitting on top of the world. And then, Donovan, you're not humble enough to go riding quietly off into the sunset of your overrated career because you're fickle about the way things ended. So you want all the attention that you can possibly get, which is why you make everything personal. Everything is personal. Everything is about you because you're self-absorbed. So that's my analysis on the situation.
See, Austin, I can fully understand the points that you made about Donovan McNabb, but I think I'm more on the side of why, like, what's the harm in RG3 sitting down and hearing what he has to say? Because I'm pretty sure whatever he has to say about him, I don't think his advice would have been about X's and O's. Like, Because, yes, you know, if that's what you're going to tell him. If Donovan McNabb is going to start talking to me about X's, I'm going to tell him FOH and I'm going to get up. But I do think that it had something to do with the small fraternity of African-American quarterbacks. And we do crap on each other for that, like not taking other people
all
under
the
our
time,
wings.
And that's just my point, man.
So even if Donovan McNabb had some ulterior motives, I still don't see the harm in sitting down with him just to see what he has to say. And
but,
the
but
part
you know what,
where he
Dev,
said
Dev,
he might be getting brainwashed
that,
in Washington, I think I know where he was coming from with the whole brainwashing thing, because he knows he left Washington in a bitter situation, so he probably thinks that it's the coaching staff or Shanahan or somebody like that saying, well, you don't need to talk to that guy, because Shanahan's whole thing might be he might be trying to drive a wedge in between us.
So,
but there's nothing wrong with
Shanahan
telling somebody.
Shanahan is the most hated man in the NFL, yo, and it's for a reason.
There's nothing wrong with giving somebody advice on what to look out for in the NFL. We all the things we say about Donovan, we can't say that he hasn't been through the ringer. You know what I'm saying? So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, who knows what he was going to say to him, one thing. But I do agree with you.
Yeah,
Donovan could – he could do things a little bit different.
That.
It is about attention at this
I acknowledge
point
both,
because he could have rolled out.
The, both sides of the conversation. Because RG3, again, he's a – I certainly did. I said he's an arrogant – RG3 is an arrogant prick. So in order to take advice for someone, you have to have some semblance of humility. He's not a humble guy. So he's not going to listen – to that advice, and I'm analyzing from my perspective both sides of the coin. On one hand, you have two dudes that are in some areas similar, and it's beyond ethnicity. It's about their egos. It's about their arrogance. It's about RG3. It doesn't want to sit down with McNabb, not just because he's a bum, not just because he's an idiot, not just because he can't tell him anything about X's and O's, but just because you're offering me help. I feel as though I don't need any help. I don't need any help. I'm good. I got it. I'm here. I'm
playing. Hold that thought. I just want to tell the listeners, if anybody wants to call in and give an opinion on this, just hit us up, 323-410-0012. We're talking about RG3 and the McNabb situation. Go ahead, Jim.
So I think first of all, McNabb left on bad circumstances for the employer that currently employs RG3. So if I'm that employer, I wouldn't want RG3 talking to that disgruntled former employee. And if I'm RG3, I don't want that either, because like you guys alluded to, he could drive a wedge. And also, maybe RG3 just doesn't respect Donovan McNabb's ability. Not saying that Donovan McNabb wasn't a serviceable to good quarterback, even though he did not live up to his talents. RG3 is probably like, well, I'm going to be better than you, dude, so I don't need to talk to you.
Yeah, but
I look at it different,
a
man. Like,
of,
yo, this is bigger than football, though, man. Like, he's reaching back trying to help him, whether he's right or wrong or whether he can help. It doesn't hurt to listen, man. How many old heads have pulled you to the side in the hood where some of them were no good, but you still listen to what they had to say, whether you acted on it or not, because it's a matter of having respect, man.
I had old heads pull me to the side, standing in front of the liquor store with no teeth. But, you know, it is about respect.
You still listen to him, man. You show respect, man. Like, that's all
I mean, you got the top blue-chip high school quarterbacks in the nation going to a camp with Trent Dilfer. Like, they all going to be better than him, but it is about respect. Now, think about it. Don't look at it from the perspective of how we think about Donovan McNabb. We don't respect Donovan McNabb as a player as much
as
the respect he actually got around the league. He gets way more respect for his career than we get. So we can't look at, okay, maybe that's the case, and we think that's the case, but he's gotten way more respect. So in NFL circles, he is a respected dude. So it's like if he just wants to talk to you for a minute, I just don't see what the harm is. You know I don't defend Donovan McNabb. I just don't see what the big deal
was unless
he was specifically told not to do it. You know what I mean?
I try to separate my feelings from McNabb as a player and when talking about situations like this, because one of the reasons McNabb got so much respect was the way he conducted himself and carried himself off the field. I mean, he, as B. Austin would like to say, he wasn't a typical Miami football player or Florida football player. So if that was the kind of advice he was trying to give him in terms of, like Dev said, how to conduct yourself off the field, I don't think it'll be an X's and O's thing.
And you know what, Jimmy?
Just listen to the man.
You know what a lot of people have been saying? And, of course, it's like Redskins fans have been killing Donovan McNabb all week. I'm like, oh, God, when he came to y'all team, everybody was screaming Super Bowl. And we tried to warn y'all that he wasn't that good. Anyway, that's not my point. My point is, it's like when he see, here's one of them things. I forgot my point, man. I'll chime back in.
I address both sides, both sides of the dialogue, because I'm not saying that RG3 is correct for necessarily not accepting the olive branch being extended. But what I am saying is that olive branch was being extended from what I know on the outside, and I don't know Donovan personally, but I've seen him for 15 years. I feel as though that olive branch was extended because dude is self-absorbed. He still wants
attention. It doesn't matter. If he was trying to help him out for his own benefit, it doesn't matter why.
But it's not for his own. It's not just for his own benefit, though. It's not just for his own benefit. Here, I'm trying to help you and stay relevant.
Riley Rebel
but
just
so what? His reasons don't matter. The fact is, he was trying to.
Reasons
his eyes
don't matter.
Help.
Intentions
no,
don't,
in
intentions
that,
don't
in
matter.
No, in that situation, it doesn't matter. A lot of times when people reach out or do something good for someone, they do it for themselves. But the fact of the matter is, he's still trying to do good.
But.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Austin, how could.
If you go by intentions,
because how could RG3 even know what his intentions were until he sat down and heard the man?
Well,
out.
RG3 does. He's probably
but that's
okay.
The point.
And this
don't
is
matter.
This is what I was
gonna
say, Jim. Real quick before I forget, this is what I was gonna say. Like, I heard a lot of people this week talking about, well, McNabb, he wasn't vocal at all when he was going through all of this. He wouldn't stand up for himself, so why he want to be so vocal now? But I think that might be the point. A part of his advice might have been to tell RG3 that you might need to simmer down in the media a little bit. You know, we might not have liked the way he handled himself, you know, McNabb at times in the media, but that might have been a part of his advice. Whether or not RG3 wants to take it, that's his choice. But I still just don't see – I don't see the harm in listening to the man. And I don't disagree with you that it might – you know, he might have some selfish ulterior motives, but you don't know what he's going to say until he actually says it. So why would you just diss the man like that? You know, a lot of people not doing that. If Peyton Manning – pull you over to the side when you come into the league and say, I want to talk to you, most of the people are going to talk to him. Like, I know he's not Peyton Manning from a player perspective, but we can't act like McNabb didn't get way more respect than what
we did. This happens all the time. Warren Moon did the same thing with Cam Newton. I mean, anytime there's a high-profile quarterback, a lot of the older African quarterbacks do this. But anyway,
we
got a couple calls on the line.
Jimmy, I have a question real quick. Should Aaron Rodgers have taken advice from Brett Favre after Brett Favre left?
Brett Favre wasn't willing to give him
advice. He wasn't willing
Brett
to give him
advice. Like him when he was there.
He was trying to get advice from Brett Favre. He wasn't willing to give him.
He tried. Brett didn't want to do it. Brett's a loser and a coward.
Brett,
anyway,
see, that's
real
a different
quick.
Situation. Brett wouldn't even give dude advice when he was his backup because he just still looked at it as a competition. So that's even worse. Lisa McNabb is retired. He has nothing to gain by staring dude the wrong way.
Brett Favre was a drug addict and a loser. Hold on, we have a couple calls on the line. Let's get the homie Rob on from San Diego real quick. Rob, what's going on, Rob?
I'm sorry, that was funny. I'm sorry, that was
he's
funny.
Cracking
I'm
up. Yo.
What's good, though?
Yo, Nick Foles looking all right out there, yo.
That's a great thing what he said about Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre because – you'll find, like what Jimmy said, it's a small fraternity of black quarterbacks. McNabb just doesn't want him to end up like Jamarcus Russell or Vince Young.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, I don't know what McNabb wanted to tell him, but I just don't see the harm in listening to the man. Even me and Rob, we go back and forth on McNabb. Rob thinks McNabb was better than I thought he was. You know, all that aside, I just don't see the harm. Like, listen to the man. He's trying to reach out to you.
Even if McNabb was a complete and utter bum, which I don't think he was, be off the name, but I don't think he was. Even if he was, he still can have some advice in terms of being a professional and playing in the league.
Complete.
I mean, as you grow as a person, you don't learn just from the successful people in your life. You learn from people who aren't successful. I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying to get gems from people, man. That's all I'm saying.
Riley Rebel just got hit hard by another white boy.
Anyway,
wow.
What's good, Rob? What you want to talk about, Rob?
About the NCAA thing about Johnny Manziel. Because I'm from the West Coast. I'm a Pac, the real football dude, the Pac-12, the real conference, not that plantation called the SEC.
The conference that run off like
big
90 championships in the world.
Hold up. We actually play football over here. We don't just 4 yards in a cloud of dust.
Wow.
They do 4 yards, 4 yards in a cloud of trophies. 4 yards in a cloud of championships.
when your great great grandfather have all them plantations, you inherit that wealth. But anyway.
Whoa! We get caught deep right there, Rob.
I'm the college man. I ain't get my degree yet. I ain't up there with y'all, but I'm there. I'm going there.
Got you.
Keep your head up.
But I'm mad that Cam Newton. How come they gonna demonize Reggie Bush and Cam Newton in his situation? Not only that, he stole a laptop, and he still gets to play in the game. I think he won the Heisman Trophy that year, and still went to a championship. Come on, man, Rob.
You know the answer to that question,
appeal.
Brother. You know the answer to that question, though. I'm not even gonna answer that question because you know the answer to that question.
Think about it, Rob. Cam Newton was still in school. He generates money, so they don't want him to leave. Reggie Bush was already gone, so there was nothing else to make off of Reggie Bush. So we can retroactively go back and punish Reggie Bush because he's not generating any more money.
He's talking about when Cam got slammed the first time when Cam played for Florida. When Cam played for Florida and he got caught up in that laptop thing, they kicked his ass out. That's when he went to Auburn.
Oh, no.
I thought he was saying
how come he got to play and Reggie Bush got all this flack.
Yeah, which is crazy because imagine if Cam Newton would have been able, because Cam Newton was supposed to be the replacement for Tebow. Once Tebow left, Cam would have been there. That would have been crazy. But
I thought he was saying how come Cam got to play and Reggie Bush got all this flack. My bad.
But you know why?
Because I'm a Pac-12 dude, you know, and the SEC is they basically own college football. And
the thing I see with Johnny Manziel is so much better than the Pac-12.
Yeah, who knows though? Rob, man, thanks for your call though. But to answer your question, anytime you want to know, it's a couple reasons why you look for the money. Wherever the money is, follow the money trail.
All right.
All right, bro.
We holler at you a couple minutes, but we holler at you, Rob. Take care.
Yeah, we got a couple more calls.
Y'all take care. Deuces.
Let's get Naj and ATL. Naj, what's good, homie?
Ain't nothing, man. Before I get into the McNabb thing, you know, let me just say, man, how can a dude from the Pac-12 fix his mouth to say something bad about the SEC, man?
Yo!
In the words of Jay, man, y'all only get half a bar. You know what I mean? I got nothing else to say about
Pac-12.
Damn! SEC, Pac-12? Come on, bro. We talking about real football down here, man. But back to McNabb. I think the brother hit it right on the head. If he really wanted to have that conversation, he should have done it in private. Doing it publicly made it just seem kind of, you know,
thank you.
And then on top of that, we got to remember, Donovan was just a regular company man. RG3 is an expert company man. When they asked him about that Redskins name, he fell in line real quick and said what he had to say. So RG3 knows the game.
Yeah. No, they definitely both fall in that category.
Shout out.
But the only thing I think Jimmy was saying was
the organization for Donovan.
Right. But that's the thing. We don't know what the conversation was going to entail. It may not have had anything to do with the Redskins. It just might be about how to handle yourself in the NFL. Now, I said, I'm one of those people. I'm not saying that.
Why take it? Risk reward, you gonna make your organization, man. Why even have a conversation? You know what I mean?
Now this is one thing I heard down here, and I don't know if this just got added to the conversation, if somebody just made this up, but somebody told me earlier today that it was the organization's idea in the first place to have them talk. I don't know if I really believe that because Donovan didn't leave DC on the greatest terms. So I don't really see Shanahan reaching out to Donovan saying, you know, talk to RG3 for me. So I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying, you know, that I believe that or anything.
Yeah, that sounds like PR,
yeah,
man.
It kind of sounds suspect.
I'm just kind of disappointed in the dude just seeing that. I see Donovan all over again. I kind of fall into the same opinion that y'all do as far as not putting Donovan up in that high, you know, that high echelon of quarterbacks. So it's like the NBA players go see Hakeem Olajuwon when they want to learn the post. So if you're a quarterback, why the hell would you go to McNabb when all these other geniuses like Warren Moon are
out
there?
But you know what, though? I don't think it was about football, though. I really don't. Because, you know, a lot of times these guys, when they come in the league, it's about just being a professional and being a black quarterback and dealing with that.
This is a fact. Jimmy, you know what McNabb could give him great advice on? About
how not to throw ground balls.
He could take all of this adulation that he's getting with a grain of salt, because as quickly as they build you up, they will tear you down. Now, you know, I've never liked Donovan McNabb as a quarterback from the jump, but there was a lot of people in Philly who celebrated this dude like he was the one. And then, you know, they were quick to tear him down when things weren't going so well. So
that's
he can't give him that kind of advice. He can't give him
Naj,
that.
The thing
yo, we
about
got
it is,
two more calls, Jim.
We got two more calls. But listen, Naj, the thing about it is, this is something that Warren Moon has consistently done, and McNabb is trying to, like, do that. It has nothing really to do with X's and O's. So, I mean, we never really know at the end of the day, but thanks for your call, homie.
All right, man.
Thanks, brother, for your wisdom. We needed it.
Anyway, man, we got to get these other two calls real quick. Jonathan, what's going on, John? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? How's everyone doing tonight?
Pretty good. How are
we
you?
Got a couple minutes, John. We got to make it fast. What's going on?
You in the war room.
Oh, good. I just wanted to go in and talk a little bit more about the Donovan McNabb and RG3 situation.
What's your opinion?
Not situation, but it's overflow. Well, I look at it in two different ways. One of the guys, I forgot who it was before, he kind of said what I was getting ready to say about, I think what Donovan wanted to do with RG3 was just let him know that basically you need to have you'll be patient. You also need to know that you can be knocked down a level at any given moment. You have a bunch of people in the NFL, certain folks, and we're not going to put it out there, but just think, use your imagination, that don't want to see you succeed. The code name for a black quarterback in the NFL is a running quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And they always think that the running quarterback will never make it in the NFL. They don't want to say the word black quarterback, because they don't want to come off as racist. But a lot of people who don't want to see that man succeed, or any black quarterback succeed, the first thing they say is, oh, running quarterbacks never make it.
Let's go back
and look a little bit of history.
John, we only got a couple seconds left, John. Our show's actually, you only got a couple seconds left. We could take this to the Facebook page, but thanks for your input. And I kind of agree exactly with what you're saying, but we have to, like, really, about to really get off.
Right.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, John, take it easy,
bro.
We got one more. We can go over
Varee,
real quick.
Varee, what's going on,
fellas? I just wanted to make one point.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't think he dissed him because he said he doesn't think Donovan is an idiot or anything. That's all.
Nobody even asked him. I think he was definitely dissing him right there. That's like me saying, I don't think he a coward or nothing, but...
Varee is into lyrics. Varee is no dummy. Varee know what happened.
Saying on the random, like, do you know her? I don't think she a whore. You ain't asked me that. Like, do you know? Somebody say, "Yo, you know that girl over there?" Man, I don't think she over. Anyway, man.
I know, man.
All right.
I just wanted to throw that out there,
but you know, I think everybody's made good points on this situation. We've been doing this forever, man. I've been listening, but that's all.
Give us a.
Come on, man. All right, Varee, thanks, Cole.
All right, thanks.
Man. Yeah, we got a lot of cats want to chime in on that, man. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, man. Thanks for joining us again in the war room, good people. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, all the calls who chimed in, the calls we couldn't get to. We apologize, but our time is up. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for NFL preseason discussions and everything else in the world of sports. Until then, enjoy your sports week. We'll see you right back here next week, same time, same bat channel. Be sure to catch our conversations all week online, Facebook, Twitter, and check all of our videos out, warroomsportstv.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. We'll see you chumps on top.
Yo, every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B-Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dial. Call it 323-0012. If you're going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, let's talk sports. Showtime like magic in a block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip-hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Sports are a secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G-flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.